A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it is those words, there is a friend that speaketh closer than a brother, that we're going to think about this evening. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Write it upon every heart. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about this friend that sticks closer than a brother. An ancient philosopher said, "Friendship is the only thing in the world concerning the usefulness of which all mankind are agreed." There are four physical elements which are necessary to life. There is air, there is water, there is food, and there is light. We might well add a fifth, because what would life be without friendship? What would the world be without friends? Life without friends would be like a tree stripped bare of its foliage and its fruit. We would be bare and barren indeed if we did not have friends. Someone once wrote this poem entitled, "Only God Gives a Friend." I think that God will never send a gift so precious as a friend. A friend who always understands and fills each need as it demands, whose loyalty will stand the test when skies are bright or overcast, who see the faults that merit blame but keeps on loving just the same, who does far more than creeds can do to make us good, to make us true. Earth's gifts a sweet contentment lend, but only God can give a friend. And we all should thank God for the friends that God has given us in life, because they are precious gifts indeed. Friendship is such a great treasure, however, because loyal friends are notoriously difficult to find. We all have experienced friends whom we reckoned we could have relied upon, but sadly, they let us down. They forsook us in the hour of need, or they betrayed our trust and broke our confidences, and we discovered the truth of the words, "A faithless friend is sharper than an adder's tooth." But then there are friends whom we can thank God for, friends who have not failed. Folk Greville became Lord Brooke. He became the first Lord Brooke. He had a friend by the name of Sir Philip Sidney, and they lived in the Elizabethan Jacobin era. Now, Sir Philip Sidney had an excellent and an endearing character. He was a man of many talents. He was a courtier. He was a poet. He was an author. But he is also a soldier, a very good soldier and a brave soldier. He fought for England to help defend the Netherlands against Spain. And he died in battle only 31 years of age. And the story is told of Sir Philip Sidney that has gone down in history, just to illustrate the kind of a man he was. As he lay dying, he refused water because there was another dying soldier, and he said, "That dying soldier needs the water more than I need it." There is an epitaph written for Sir Philip Sidney. "England has his body, for she it fed. Netherlands his blood and her defense shed. The heavens have his soul, the arts have his fame. The soldier is grief, the world his good name." Lord Brooke died some decades after, and he too died a violent death. He was assassinated by his servant over an argument in the house. But Lord Brooke never forgot his friend who died so gallantly, and he composed an epitaph for his own grave, and that epitaph is upon his grave to this day. "Folk Greville, servant to Queen Elizabeth, counselor to King James, and friend to Sir Philip Sidney." He wanted the friendship immortalized. The best kind of friend, however, is the one who is family. Here Solomon refers to the bond that exists among brothers, and he refers to this bond There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he was using this to teach the fact that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother because the bond of brothers is particularly strong. The story is told of two brothers by the name of Forsyth. They were marching with a Highland regiment over the mountains in the 19th century, and they were overtaken by a terrible blizzard. One of the brothers collapsed, and so the brother that was still on his feet, he lifted up his collapsed brother, and he put him over his shoulder, and he carried him. But then he too became exhausted, both by the cold, by the elements, but also by the weight of the brother upon the shoulder. And so the two collapsed there. But the brother that initially fell, he survived because he was kept alive by the warmth of the dying brother's body. And so one brother actually gave his life for the other. But here in our text, we are told, there is a friend that sticketh even closer than the brother. Who is this friend that loves us with a passion that is even stronger than that which unites blood? Who is this friend that Solomon is talking about? Well, it can only be one person, and that is Jesus Christ. A brother is a family relation. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he became one of us. He came into the human family. We are told that as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ became human flesh. Yes, he remained God, and he remained perfect, he remained holy, but yet he became man. And without sin, he became subject to all of the weaknesses of humanity. He had to be fed. He had to be clothed. He felt cold. And even in his emotions, he felt loneliness and he shed tears. And he suffered all of that without sin. And then he went to the place of the cross and he died for us. He is the friend who's one of us. He came into the human family. And he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so, let us think about him tonight. If there's one thing we can say about Jesus Christ, it is this. He is the friend of sinners. And perhaps that's the best title for the message. He is the friend of sinners. Because that's something we all struggle with. Our own sinfulness. It's there all of the time. But this friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he's friendly towards those who do not deserve his friendship. And we're all in that category. So just a few things I want you to think about with regard to this friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus, the friend of sinners. What kind of a friend is Jesus? First of all, he is a sincere friend. It is always good and important to have friends that are honorable. It's something we often talk to our young people and our children about, the importance of having good friends, honorable friends, honest friends, because a bad friend will drag you down. A friend who lies and gets involved in immoral activity, a friend who has no regard for law, that person will end up contaminating you and polluting you. But a friend that has a purity about them, a friend that has good principles, a friend that has true standards, a friend that won't tell you lies, that kind of friend is worth having, and they're worth a thousand of the other kind of friends. Such is the importance of such an individual. And then we think of Jesus Christ, and he is unlike any other friend. Because we may have friends who are true and friends who are pure, but those friends can still let you down, and we can let them down because we are but poor mortals. But Jesus Christ is the friend who never fails because of his purity. Who can place an accusation against him that's going to stick? Who can bring a charge against him that can be proved? There is no one who can do this very thing, because even Pilate, his judge, he said, "I find no fault in this man." Jesus Christ is the pure, holy, blameless Son of God. And on that account, he is a truthful friend. The flatterer is a terrible kind of friend to have. Somebody who butters you up and says all kinds of wonderful things about you but doesn't mean them at all, because they can't possibly be true, because such a person can't exist. And we can be very susceptible to the flatterer. The true friend will never conceal the problem. The true friend will never tell lies in order to please you. The true friend will be honest at times, brutally honest, but in a gracious kind of way. And Jesus Christ is the one that is the true friend. He tells us that we have sinned and we have gone astray. He tells us that we have broken the law of God. He tells us through the scriptures that without God's grace, we are lost forever and lost in hell forever. And these things are truths that we must always remember. But yet, Christ and the scriptures tell us this message with love, because there is one who rescues us from ourselves and rescues us from our sin. And it is Christ who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is a sincere friend. But he is also a sacrificial friend. Over in the book of Romans chapter 5, we read this concerning Jesus. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for the ungodly. He died for people who did not deserve him, who did not deserve his love, who did not deserve his sacrifice. People will go out and they will give their lives for something. They will give their lives for something they are proud of. They will give their lives for an identity. They will give their lives for a name. They will give their lives for an idea. They will give their lives for a person. But it's something they believe passionately about, something that they feel deserves their loyalty. But we did not deserve the loyalty of Jesus Christ. We were sinners who had rebelled and broken God's law, but yet Christ extended himself out to us with such love that he gave his life for us. And I want you to think about that tonight. If someone had given their life for you in the natural realm, you would forever be indebted to that person, to their memory, and you'd be wanting to raise a memorial to that person. You'd want to do something that their sacrifice would never be forgotten. But yet, Jesus Christ died for us that we might be saved forever. And what have you done for him? Have you given him your heart? Have you given him your life? For the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Something else about the friendship of Jesus here is not just sincere and sacrificial, but it is steadfast. The steadfastness of Jesus as our friend. He is steadfast in that he is an old friend. There's a lot to be said for holding on to an old friend. There's a Russian proverb which says an old friend is better than two new ones. Because you know the old friend. You know that person inside out. You might know their faults, and those faults might annoy you at times, but then you don't know how many faults the new friend has that you haven't discovered yet. And so it's good to hold on to an old friend. How old is Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners? Well, he began loving us before the world was formed. He began loving us before there was a star in the galaxies, before the sun began to burn. He began loving us before there was a blade of grass. He has loved us with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says. And there is no love like that. He's an old friend in his steadfastness, but he's also an all-weather friend in his steadfastness. I'm sure you've heard of fair-weather friends who are lovely and cozy whenever we have something to offer them. But whenever the chips are down and there's no money in the bank, they don't want to know us. And there are many a friend like that in this world, the selfish kind of a friend. It's not friendship, for friendship must be selfless if it's going to be friendship at all. Someone once said that some friends are like the swallow, they're only with us for the summer. But other friends are like the robin, who's there when the snow is on the ground as well as when the sun is shining. And that is exactly the kind of friend that Jesus Christ is. He's with us all the time, and he never fails us, he never lets us down. And whenever there's dark clouds, we appreciate his friendship all the more. Christ is steadfastness in that he is a long-suffering friend. There are times we think we have made a friend, but then there's a trait in that person's character we just can't abide and the friendship cools, or there's something about us that they can't abide and the friendship cools. It's always good to suffer long. You know, if we go around this world simply looking for people's faults all the time, we'll never have any friends, because even the very best of friends will have their faults. But it can be difficult to suffer long. And let's face it, there's character traits that we just can't abide. And we're all built a certain way. Things that annoy us. But Christ is a friend who suffers long, because he knows our faults better than we know them. He knows them inside out, back to front. He knows what is in man. He reads our very hearts and our thoughts. But as the long-suffering friend, he is the forgiving friend. He puts up with us, and then he forgives us. He forgives us our sins. And we need that forgiveness. And you need to know that you're forgiven. But you know, you cannot have that forgiveness of Christ unless you ask him for that forgiveness. And that's why becoming a Christian is so important, because that's about coming to Jesus Christ and asking him for forgiveness. And the very fact that you're in a place where the gospel is preached tonight is evidence that he has suffered long with you, and he has borne with you, and he has been gracious to you and kind to you in more ways than you could ever recognize. But you need to receive that forgiveness and receive that friendship. Christ's friendship is one that is offered in the gospel, but it's a friendship you have to accept. Every friendship must be accepted. And could it be that you have never accepted the friendship that is in Jesus Christ? You haven't reached out your hand and embraced him as your Savior. And tonight all of that can change. And you can know his forgiveness. And you can know the benefit of that great sacrifice he made for you on Calvary. He is steadfast in that he is an unconditional friend. Unconditional friendship, that's a difficult thing in this world, isn't it? I think we all have conditions attached to friendship. I suppose the nearest we get to unconditional friendship is the friendship that exists within family. The friendship that exists between a mother and a child. It's an unconditional friendship, an unconditional love. And yet we know that even the tightest bonds of human love can be broken. They can be snapped asunder. But the friendship that Christ provides per sinners is unconditional. He never demands anything of us. There's nothing that we can do to merit that friendship. by trying to be good. That doesn't merit that friendship. There's nothing we can do. That's why the hymn writer wrote the words, "Just as I am." That's how you come to Christ. Just as I am. You lay your heart before Him and you ask Him for that forgiveness, and He takes you as you are. And how important that is. He is steadfast, that He is an eternal friend. That friendship may have begun before the world was formed, but when you know Christ is your friend, that friendship will take you to that place that exists long after this world has ended. Because He is an eternal friend. The eternity of Christ's friendship. The Apostle Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord?" Who can separate us from that love? And he came to the conclusion, there's nothing. There's nothing in this life. There's nothing in the life to come. There's nothing in the natural world, whether it be death or life. There's nothing in the spiritual world, whether it be angels and principalities. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if that is so, and it is, and I know that it is so, because Jesus Christ died for me and He rose again. I know that it is so because I have experienced that friendship in my life. You see, Christianity is not a mere philosophy. Christianity is about a person. It's about knowing that person. And that person is Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. What a friend He is. Then I also want to share with you this thought, that Christ is a sympathetic friend. Sympathy and empathy are really important human attributes. The ability of the human being to get alongside someone else and bring that comfort and bring that consolation and enter our own hearts into the sufferings of another. And there's great comfort that is derived from that human sympathy that God puts within the heart of mankind. But there are some who are full of words, good words, wonderful words, lovely words, best of intentioned words. "We're there for you, we're remembering you." But the sympathy's not quite there. It's not a thing that people can really conjure up. But Jesus Christ's sympathy for us goes away far and beyond anything that we could ever experience from anyone else. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 41 and the verse 3, the psalmist there talked about being sick. And he said, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." We don't often think of God being the bed maker, the one who makes the bed. And here we have somebody lying in bed filled with pain, and they're sick. The Lord comes and He makes that bed. And He's there to console and to comfort the one that is in trouble. There's real sympathy there with those words. And the Lord can sympathize for us and with us because, again, we come back to it, He became man. He is this friend, He became man. And we're told by the Apostle Paul that He was tempted in all points like as we are. He became one of us. And He suffered on every point. And therefore we can come to Him for help. And there's grace to help in the time of need. He's there with us and all of that. In The Treasury of David, written by the London Victorian Baptist C.H. Spurgeon, he tells a story of a man called Paxton Hood, who visited his dear friend, Benjamin Parsons. Now, Benjamin Parsons was dying. And so Paxton Hood was visiting a dying friend. And he came with the usual question that we all ask people that are suffering. How are you today? And this friend who was dying said, my head is resting very sweetly on three pillows, infinite power, infinite love, and infinite wisdom. Resting on the pillows of God's power, God's love, and God's wisdom. And then Mr. Hood went on to say he told this story to someone that he knew. And this particular lady was facing surgery. And as she was going into the operating theater, she asked the surgeon if she could have her pillows. And of course, the surgeon said, no, you can't have your pillows in the operating theater. And then she looked at the surgeon and she remembered the words of Benjamin Parsons, who was dying. And she looked at the surgeon and she said, you've taken away my earthly pillows, but there's three pillows you cannot take away. Infinite power, infinite love, infinite wisdom. And that certainly leads us into a place of amazing confidence and consolation, whatever we face in this world. Because in life, we all have problems. We all have sorrows. We all have pain. We all have fear. Whether we are Christians or not, we will have problems in this world. But those that don't know Christ, they do not have the peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. And what sacred peace that is. To go through the storms of life and not of Christ in the vessel. That's too dreadful to imagine. And it's never too late to come to Jesus. Never too late to have your life turned around. Never too late to bow and bend that knee at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, will you be my friend? Finally, very briefly, he is a satisfying friend. There's no satisfaction like that which Jesus gives. The woman of Samaria, she came to draw water from her well as she would do on any other occasion. She came out of the city herself. There was no one else about. And there was this man sitting upon the well, and he began to speak to her. And he was a Jew, and she thought it strange for the Jew to know dealings with the Samaritans. But the Lord had none of that sectarian division that characterized the relationships between Jews and Samaritans and characterizes so many in society and across the world today. And the Lord said, you've come to draw water. But when you take this water, you'll have to come back to this well again, for when you drink this water from this well, no matter how good it tastes, you'll thirst again. But the water that I can give you, when you take of this water, you'll never thirst. You'll be absolutely and completely satisfied. And that's what Jesus gives. That's a friend worth having. If he can give you that, then you should want it and you should want more of it. So if you don't know the Lord today, my appeal to you is to come to Jesus as you are. And I tell you something, he will make you glad. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the friendship that Jesus Christ brings. We thank you for his truth and his clarity. And we pray that you would write your Word upon every heart for Christ.